All right, guys, you are locked on Falcons, and I am your host, Aaron Freeman, and today I am talking to you about the undrafted free agents, wrapping up our series on this 2018 Falcons class, talking about the linebackers, defensive backs, and special teams.
You are locked on Falcons, your daily podcast on the Atlanta Falcons, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, guys, you know me. I'm Aaron Freeman, founder of FalcFans.com, one of the longest-running Falcon websites on the internet, at FalcFans on Twitter, and, of course, the host of this illustrious Locked On Falcons podcast. So today we're wrapping up our undrafted series, talking about this 2018 crop of undrafted rookie free agents with the Falcons. We've talked about the offensive skill position players. We talked about Kurt Benkert on a recent episode, sort of on his own, with a Grady Jarrett episode. We talked most recently about the defensive linemen and offensive linemen, and now we're going to wrap up with our talk about the back seven and special teams. Now, if you listen to that recent episode on Tuesday when we talked about the trenches players, we talked a little bit about Anthony Wimbush and my expectations that he would play as a linebacker rather than a true defensive end, but he would get some opportunities in the nickel during the preseason games as a pass rusher. This is what the Falcons have done the last couple of summers with guys like Vic Beasley, with guys like Tyler Starr. You may recall Philip Wheeler, Ivan McLennan. Devondre Campbell, honestly, is like the lone exception, really, to this in terms of guys that play linebacker in the base, play defensive end in the nickel. It's really more the Falcons are looking more for that Bruce Irvin type of player. And I think Wimbush fits that bill, and we'll see if he gets that opportunity. But if he does not, and he does spend the bulk of his time this summer playing more as a hand-in-the-dirt defensive end, then I would expect Richard Dewey Jarvis to be the top candidate to compete for that reserve spot behind Devondre Campbell at the Sam linebacker spot. And I think Jarvis sort of fits the bill because he was a defensive end at Brown, and was productive in that role and showed his athleticism. He's not really ideally suited for that spot, but he's not that much smaller than guys like Wimbush and JT Jones were. At least play that spot playing defensive end, being 240 pounds. But, I watched him a little bit at the Senior Bowl. He played both strong side and weak side linebacker spot in that game. And he did look a little bit more comfortable playing that Sam linebacker spot than the Will. I think he has a lot of coverage potential because of his athleticism. But after spending, 4 years rushing the quarterback, he certainly needs a lot more polish there. So I do think he's got some talent worth looking at. And I think he will, assuming Wimbush plays some Sam linebacker, I could see Jarvis dabbling at both Sam and Will. If Wimbush is more of a defensive end, then I would truly expect Jarvis to spend the bulk of his time playing Sam. But we'll see. At the other linebacker positions, the Falcons have two Emmanuels, and Emmanuel Ellerbe from Rice and Emmanuel Smith from Vanderbilt. Ellerbe, both these guys are athletic with good speed. The thing I noticed about Ellerbe watching him play at Rice was that he was a little light at the point of attack. I expect him to compete at middle linebacker. Saying a Falcons linebacker is light at the point of attack is certainly nothing new, and certainly not an insurmountable obstacle when you see the rest of the players of the Falcons out of that position. So it's not a huge, huge negative, but it is an issue. Smith is another undersized guy that spent the bulk of his career early on at Vanderbilt playing safety, if I recall correctly. So I think he'll probably play on the weak side. And, I'll be curious with these two guys because I didn't sit down and watch a ton of them. I just watched like one game for Ellerbe and like half a game for Smith. I'll be curious to basically see if one of these guys winds up distinguishing themselves in camp, or we're just going to lump them into the same sort of category as also-rans and calling them the Emmanuels, because neither one of them is really like as strong a candidate to win a spot. And so, we talk about these three guys, they'll have an opportunity to compete for and potentially win the sixth linebacker spot. I think special teams ability is going to go a very long way to determining who wins that spot. I think As I mentioned earlier with Wimbush, and in a previous podcast when talking about Wimbush, I do think that guy, whoever winds up getting a lot of those strong side snaps behind Campbell with the second and third and whatever team defenses in those preseason games, will be positioned in a better position than some of the other undrafted guys like the Emmanuels to potentially win that sixth roster spot. Because when you look at the Falcons' depth of that strong side linebacker spot, if Campbell goes down, who are their options? Well, you would assume based off of their playing last year, it would be Vic Beasley or Kamal Ishmael. Now, but the Falcons have basically been very adamant that, you know, Vic Beasley's not going to play linebacker. So I would assume then that that's taken off the table. Then you have Ishmael, who was pretty decent as a fill-in Sam linebacker for a couple of those games right before Duke Riley came back. But you could have a situation where Kamal Ishmael is filling another spot. Potentially, if Duke Riley doesn't really make the leaps that many of us and the Falcons coaching staff hope that he does make this year, maybe Ishmael is the starting weak side linebacker for the Falcons. And so there, that sort of takes him out of the equation. And so then in that situation, your only real option on the roster that's a lock to make the roster as your backup Sam linebacker in the event of a Campbell injury is Brooks Reed. Or you're basically going to have to renege and say, oh, that whole thing about keeping Vic Beasley as a defensive end this year, yeah, we'll just renege on that a little bit. So I think if I was betting on, because of those reasons, if I was betting on any of these guys to make the roster, I would put my money on either Wimbush or Jarvis, whoever is the guy that gets the majority of those backup strong side linebacker spots as being that sixth linebacker. So, but we'll see if either of the Emmanuel emerges. And speaking of emerging, or better yet, rising up, I want to talk to you guys about Blue Chew. BlueChew.com brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know they work. You can take them anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach. And since they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as any pill, so you can be ready whenever the opportunity rises up. Blue Chew is prescribed online and shipped straight to your door in a discreet package, so no in-person doctor's visits, no waiting in the pharmacy, and best of all, no more awkwardness. They're made in the USA, and since Blue Chew prepares and ships direct, they're cheaper than any pharmacy. Right now, we've got a special deal for our listeners. Visit BlueChew.com and get your first shipment free when you use our special promo code LOCKEDON. Just pay $5 shipping. Again, that's BlueChew.com, promo code LOCKEDON to try it for free. Blue Chew is the better, cheaper, and faster choice. All right, so let's talk about the secondary. And it's kind of interesting because the Falcons don't have any undrafted cornerbacks heading into camp right now. They cut, I think it's Joseph Putu from Florida, who was just a special teams guy at Florida. They cut him. So, you know, they haven't had a ton of those guys in recent years, but it's just weird not to have at least one guy on the roster. So the battle so far, unless they make some additional moves, the battle really in the secondary, at least as far as the undrafted players go, is going to be for that fourth safety spot. Now you have Chris Lammons. He's a free safety. He's sort of built in the same mold as Ricardo Allen and Devontae Case. He has some experience playing some slot corner, has ball skills, has some return skills. So, you know, you can make a case that he's the best pure talent of the group. But the fact that he plays free safety, I don't know if the Falcons are going to want to keep a third free safety on the roster. And so that kind of hurts his chances, but we'll see. The real battle, or the real more compelling battle, is going to be between Cedric Cooper, Jason Hall, and the other first-year guys competing for that backup strong safety spot behind Keanu Neal. Now, I was an advocate for Sherrod Neesman. I still don't get why the team didn't bring him back this offseason. And I feel like with the decision to go with some of these street free agents and undrafted guys competing for that spot, I feel like the best-case scenario is you're going to make a lateral move. But, you know, I could be wrong about that, and we'll see. Cooper is probably the more interesting of the duo of the undrafted guys, if for no other reason than he's kind of a tweener at the position. And I don't know if he's instinctual enough to play free safety in this scheme, but I also don't know if he's physical enough that you trust him to play in the box as a strong safety in this scheme. But I do feel like that sort of could help his case a little bit, similar to what we saw with Marcellus Branch last summer, similar to what we've seen in the past. I think Robinson Therese was that same type of player. He was sort of played more like a strong safety, but was built more like a free safety. And I think, you know, if Cooper does manage to get reps at both free and strong safety this summer, that could wind up enhancing his chances of making the roster just because he can fill both spots in a pinch. I don't think there's anything glaringly lacking with his game, but I don't know what his standout trait is. Like, he's not a big time thumper, so I don't know if he's going to thrive in the box in the same way that a guy like Jason Hall, who's the undrafted free agent from Texas that we picked up after he had a cup of coffee with the Seahawks. He's definitely more of that thumper. Played this past year primarily as like a hybrid slot corner slash linebacker safety that was constantly playing up close to the line of scrimmage in the games I saw. And so he's a little bit more comfortable playing that downhill thumper role that the team likes to have at that strong safety spot. And we'll sort of see which of those two emerge or other guys emerge at this safety battle. Personally, I'm putting all my money, or not all my money, I'm putting a very small amount of money, the amount of money that I would bet on, you know, if anybody knows a bookie that's taking Falcons 53-man roster prop bets, you know, hook a brother up. But if I was putting any money on, I would probably put my money on Tyson Graham, the guy that we picked up right before the draft to win that fourth safety spot and be that backup to Keanu Neal, based off of what he did at South Dakota and last summer with the Colts. He stood out a little bit more to me than the other guys did. But we'll see. I think it's really a toss-up at this point. And I think, you know, if anybody can fly around and make plays this summer, I think in addition to showcasing their ability on special teams, that guy should emerge as the front runner, and it's really anybody's game at this point. So we're going to wrap things up by talking about the Falcons special teams as well as their entire defensive roster breakdown in a bit. But I want to plug Locked on Hawks with Brad Rowland. The NBA draft happened last night. And if you guys want to get the inside scoop on how your beloved Atlanta Hawks or any NBA team did, go check out Locked on Hawks, one of many NBA shows on the Locked on Podcast Network. Your team every day. So let's talk about David Marvin, the kicker. Now, I can happily admit I did not watch any David Marvin. You know, he barely played at Georgia. I think he played two games this past year as a graduate transfer at Georgia. After spending several productive years at Wofford, I wasn't going to go and dig into kicking tape from a guy from Wofford. But, you know, the thing I'll say about him based off of the limited research I've done is that he served as a kicker, kickoff specialist, and punter during his days at Wofford and was very productive in all three arenas. And so, you know, I don't know if that versatility is going to play too much into his favor here in Atlanta just because the Falcons have an entrenched kicker, the Falcons have an entrenched punter and kickoff specialist. But it certainly won't hurt his chances. And I think, you know, as we've seen the last couple of summers with Matt Bryant being here, with Matt Bosher's role being solidified, you know, I think Bosher's signed through 2019. So I don't know if this is going to be the summer where the Falcons are considering looking elsewhere at that position. And it does sound like Marvin's going to be more of a kicker rather than a punter, but we'll see. You know, I think, you know, basically, as we've seen, these guys are auditioning for other teams, basically. And basically, your best case scenario, at least as a Falcon, at least your most realistic scenario as a Falcon, is to play well enough that if you don't make another team, that you can be at least the first number on speed dial should the Falcons, you know, decide to move on from Matt Bryant in the hopefully distant future. But that's really what you're looking for. So I think, you know, we've had a decent run of guys, I think, the last couple of summers that have been sort of the third leg in camp that have managed to latch on with other teams or at least get a look from other teams, whether that's on their roster or the practice squad. So it'll be interesting to see if Marvin sort of continues that trend. But yeah, I think at this point, he's a very, very long shot to make the roster. So let's wrap things up by talking about how the Falcons may or may not construct their defensive roster. We talked about this previously on the skill position breakdown when we talked about the offense. You know, obviously, barring no major injuries, you look at the Falcons are pretty much set with their top eight defensive linemen: Vic Beasley, Tack, Brooks Reed, Derek Shelby at the ends, Grady Jarrett, Deidre Sinnott, Terrell McClain, Jack Crawford at D-tackle. Those guys are pretty much locks to make the team. You have five locks at linebacker with Campbell, Jones, Riley, Ishmael, and Foye Olukun, their sixth-round draft pick. At cornerback, you have five locks in Trufant, Alford, Poole, Oliver, and Justin Bethel. And at safety, you have three locks with Keanu Neal, Rico Allen, and DeMonte Casey. So that adds up, if I'm not mistaken, to 21 out of 25 potential players that the Falcons would keep on defense, assuming that they keep 25 players on defense, which, as I explained in previous episodes, typically you got 25 defensive players, 25 offensive players, and three special teams guys. So, you know, that leaves four roster spots remaining. You can assume one of those is going to the ninth defensive lineman. You can assume one of those is going to the sixth linebacker. You can assume one of those is going to the fourth safety. But that fourth spot, that last spot, could be considered somewhat of a grab bag position. And as I explained when talking about the offensive breakdown, that's really basically the best player available, whoever is the best player that emerges. And you're like, well, we got to keep that guy because he definitely earned a roster spot, or we got to keep that guy because there's no chance he played so well that he's not clearing waivers to put on our practice squad. So we just got to carry him, even if it's going to mean him being inactive every week for the entirety of this upcoming 2018 season. But I think the difference here versus offense and defense when it comes to this grab bag position, that final spot on either side of the ball on defense, or at least on offense, you can sort of take a flyer on a guy that has developmental upside on offense. Like in the case, as we discussed before, you could take a guy like Kurt Benkert, who you know is not going to play or contribute this year, or you pray is not going to play a single snap this entire season as your third quarterback. But you can sort of take him and develop him and hope he, down the road, he can be your number two quarterback, possibly. But defensively, it's different because really you're probably just going to keep a guy rather than a guy that has developmental upside. You're going to rather keep a guy that can contribute right away on special teams. And so really, I think that last spot, this grab bag position, is really probably going to be a sixth cornerback. And that's probably going to be either Bleedy Ray Wilson or Leon McFadden. But we'll see. There's a possibility that it could be a 10th defensive lineman or a 7th linebacker, et cetera. Or it is, you know, a slim possibility that David Marvin is so lights out this summer that, you know, the Falcons say, you know what, we're going to carry three special teams guys, or we're going to carry a fourth specialist in addition to long snapper Josh Harris. You know, I wouldn't say it's probably the slimmest of all slim possibilities, but stranger things have happened. So we'll see how these guys emerge this summer on defense and the battles, and not a whole lot of positions open, but probably one at each spot where somebody could potentially emerge at all three levels of the defense. And that wraps up our undrafted series. We talked to Andy Gallagher on the Fan Talk a couple of weeks ago that I thought this was a pretty solid group of undrafted free agents overall. Unfortunately, there aren't a ton of roster spots available for these guys, but there are enough that you know, I could, if I was betting, I'd probably set the over under at like three. I might take the over on that and say like four undrafted free agents might wind up making a team. It's probably going to be three, so it'll probably push or something like that. But, you know, that number could be higher. It could be as high as like six or seven just based off of the roster spots potentially available on both sides of the ball. And, you know, we'll see if those guys live up to that billing as being a pretty solid crop to sort of push towards that number. But it could also be they could still be a really solid crop of guys and only one or none of these guys wind up making the final 53. We'll have to see. And instead, they're all sort of being dumped on the, not dumped is the wrong word, put on the practice squad instead. But like, you know, if you ran up and, you know, as I said to Andy, if you ran up to me and claimed that you were from the future and told me of these, what, roughly 27 undrafted free agents, any one of them, you could name any one of those guys and tell me that they made at least a practice squad, I might believe you. Because, again, that's what I mean when I say this is a pretty solid group of players. It's like, yeah, there aren't any superstars here. There's a couple of guys, maybe a half dozen or so, that I think are quote-unquote draftable, or at least, you know, could have been drafted. Not draftable in the sense that if I had been grading them based off of the limited sample size I've seen, I probably wouldn't have put a draftable grade on them, but some other NFL team could have drafted them. I think probably the only guy that I've seen that I probably would have been reasonably comfortable putting a draftable grade on was probably Kurt Benkert, the quarterback. But the other guys, there's a couple other guys I'm like, yeah, that guy's decent. That's a priority free agent type of dude. And, you know, some teams draft priority free agents because they like a certain skill set or they think he fits their scheme or whatever the case may be. But that's what I mean by that. But, yeah, I think this is a solid group of undrafted free agents. We'll see how they emerge in training camp. You know, undrafted free agency is often like a dartboard. You can sit there and be like, yeah, this guy's really talented. You can watch somebody's YouTube highlights and be like, oh, I loved his YouTube highlights. He's a special guy. Or you can look at his athleticism and be like, oh, yeah, this guy's got a lot of talent. Then they come to camp and they don't do anything. And then some guy that you just sort of were dismissive of, like with me with the Emmanuels, or who was the wide receiver? Was it Christian Blake? Who was the guy I talked? I was like, yeah, he's okay on the skill position episode. Like one of those guys winds up making the team or something like that. And that's sort of the way it goes. And, you know, this is more of a primer to sort of give you an idea of what some of these guys bring to the table, or at least give you an idea of what I think some of these guys potentially bring to the table. And we'll see what happens in training camp. So that's it, guys. I appreciate you guys tuning in. I know we didn't have as many shows this week. Been dealing with some stuff, but so I apologize for not putting up as much content this week. We'll come back strong next week with more additional content. I'm glad I did not do my NFC South offseason overview quite yet series. Start that because the Tampa Bay Bucks just had, you know, some big heavy news with the suspension of Jameis Winston drop. So when we do talk to the whoever I get for that Bucks episode, that is going to be a central part of the conversation. So you guys can look forward to that. As I've said, I do want to do AFC North previews as well, just because we spend so very little time looking at the AFC teams. I have a very big blind spot for the AFC, just because I don't spend much time thinking about it. Because, you know, Falcons play four teams and then they're in and they're out. It's not a big deal. And every, you know, once every, what, 4 years. So, I do want to talk to some AFC North people because they're going to be on the schedule and we know so very little about those teams just to give us a primer. Cause like, you know, we played Arizona enough. We played Green Bay enough. I don't feel like, you know, we kind of know what those teams are, these last couple of years. So, you know, we played the NFC East not that long ago. We know Dallas. We know Philadelphia. You know, I guess the Giants and the Redskins might require a little bit more of a primer. Since we haven't played them in the last 3 years. But, yeah, that's what's on deck. And we'll start to really get into some of the camp competitions next month. When we go position by position on our countdown to training camp. So those are the things you guys can look forward to. And of course, fan talks. And then speaking of fan talks, if you want to be on a fan talk, go ahead and send your information to LockedOnFalcons@mail.com. That's the email address. I've had a bunch of people ask me on Twitter or ask me at other email addresses, like, how do I get on a fan talk? And I'm just like, just send it to this email address. It's not like I say it every single episode, not every episode, but like on 98 out of 100 episodes. So go ahead, send that email. Give me your contact information. Give me your availability over the next several weeks/months, and we'll set something up. And in the meantime, if you have additional feedback that you want to send my way, you can do so on Twitter at FalcFans. That's my Twitter handle. If it's podcast related, just let me know in the tweet. If it is podcast related, it's just easier to go ahead and send it over to Locked On Falcons. That's the show's Twitter handle. You can also check us out on Facebook at Locked On Falcons, as well as LockedOnFalcons.com or FalcFans.com, where the show is posted daily. You can leave a comment at either one of those two websites. So, guys, appreciate you guys listening. And we'll be back. Until then.
You are Locked On Falcons, your daily Atlanta Falcons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.